Holy Communion derives its significance and meaning from the fact that it was instituted by the Lord Himself. It was not the idea of some religious council, nor is it something that, let us say, spontaneously emerged out of a religious community. The Lord Jesus Himself, while celebrating the annual Passover feast with His disciples, took bread from the table, gave thanks to God for it, offered it to them, saying, "This is My body given for you. Take and eat." Similarly, He took one of the cups on the table, that is, the cup of wine. He gave it to God in thanksgiving. He offered it to them, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood, shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink." And with that, friends, a very simple ceremony, if I may call it that, we have the institution of the Lord's Supper. So as we come to the table today, how should we come? How should we celebrate this? First of all, I say, let us come and thank our God. Thank our God for the gift of His Son. And why do we say, give thanksgiving to God? In verse 26 and verse 27 of the text, we read it. "And after blessing it, He broke it and gave it to them." In verse 27, He took the cup, "and after giving thanks." Now, there are two little Greek words here behind these. Eulogeo, the first one, He took the bread and He blessed it. Eulogeo is the word from which we get our word eulogize, to bless, to praise, to thank. And the second word, Eucharisto. In verse 27, He took the cup and He gave God thanks. Now, the best ancient manuscripts and versions of the New Testament tell us that Jesus here is giving God a thanksgiving for the cup and for the bread. Blessing like this was a Jewish thing to do. Ancient Jews would always give thanks to God or bless God's name before taking a meal. Jesus is doing that. So as we come today, let us thank our God. And we see this in the great thanksgiving in the ritual. The great thanksgiving would say, "Let us give thanks and praise to the Lord our God." And the people respond, "It is right to give our thanks and praise." So today we do not bless the elements. I don't think Jesus did. They are already blessed, for they come from the hand of the Blessed One. They come to us already blessed, and they are blessings in themselves. We thank God for that gift. So before you eat a meal, before you sit down in a restaurant or at home to eat a meal, ask yourself, WWJD, what would Jesus do? He would give thanks. So should you, so should I. There's a little story of a man and his friend in a restaurant for a meal, and this Christian man had the courage right there to bow his head and give thanks to God for the meal. And his friend said to him, "Oh, you are one of those, huh? You're one of those." Meaning, you know, these, you very kind of religious people. He said, "I don't do that. I just sit down and eat my food." And the Christian man looked at him and said, "You know, that is exactly what my dog does." Jesus gave thanks as we come to the table today to take the bread, take the cup. How should we come? To thank God. Amen? To thank God for our spiritual food. To thank God for the blood that was shed. In your coming today, let there be thanksgiving in your heart for what our Christ has done. So let us come and thank God. Secondly, friends, let us come and take the gift. So Jesus took bread and he says to them, now you take it. The bread, as you know, represents his body. And in John 6, he did teach, I am the bread of life. And now he builds on that metaphor. So as physical food sustains the material body, so Jesus, the bread of life, sustains our spiritual life. So Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life, I alone, no one else. Here is an exclusive. Jesus alone is the bread of life. Take and eat. So the text says he breaks the bread. Now, he breaks the bread to symbolize the fact that his body would be broken on the cross. So yes, his body was broken through the beatings and the nailing and everything else. We need not break the bread today in a ritual, for Christ's body was broken once and for all. It's already done, already broken. He takes, he breaks, he gives, he says, now you take it. Take and eat. Verse 27, here's the cup. Take and drink. Now, I trust you understand that the emphasis here is on that word take. There are some things of God that would only be yours and mine when we take them. I mean, deliberately, consciously take them. So eternal life is offered to us through the Christ, but we must take it. You don't get it by osmosis. You don't get it just because you come to church. Now, I know a lot of people are baptized. That's good. You should be baptized. Many are confirmed. You should be confirmed. Many are members of the church. That's good. Join here. But let me ask, have you ever taken Christ into your life? Have you? Have you? Have you ever taken Christ? I am the bread of life. Take me. Have you taken Christ? Are we getting this? Are we getting it? Well, for those of you who are not getting it, let me illustrate it. It's like looking at somebody in the grocery store, you know. I have a way of saying it takes a special gene to take a grocery cart and go up and down those aisles. I don't have that gene, but I know someone who does. Special person. But you think of a person now up and down the grocery aisle, and the cart is forever empty, empty, and they're going up and down, empty, empty, looking at the stuff on the shelves, but the cart is empty. Now, that is good for your pocket in these hard financial times. It would be good for your body, right? You got to take it off the shelf and get it into the cart. Take Christ. So we are not just here today to listen to the message or to meet our friends. We're here to take Christ. Amen? So you may ask, well, why Christ? What is so big about this Jesus, preacher? Well, my friends, he is the bread of life. Amen? He is the bread of life. It is through his shed blood we are forgiven. And so you read it in the text, verse 26. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. He would forgive us and clean us from all unrighteousness. Today we come to thank our God. Today we come to take the gift. He says, take. By choice. He isn't forcing it upon us. Choose Christ. You may ask, well, when I take him, what would happen? Well, I'm the bread of life. The life of God would enter your life. The life of God in you, nourishing you. Apart from that life, we are dead spiritually. How do we come? To thank our God, to take the gift. The gift represented by the bread and the cup. And finally, we come to trust his grace. Verse 29, I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now, I presume in some Bibles, the last line on the page may be, I tell you, I will never drink again, but again drink. No, Jesus isn't dealing with temperance here. He is saying to them, this is my last night with you. This is my last drink with you in this life. Tomorrow, he says to them, when you see me crucified, when you see me buried, do not say we had our last drink with him last night. Why? I will rise again. I will ascend back to the Father in heaven. Because I live, you would live also. We will be together again in the kingdom of God, and there I will drink with you in my Father's kingdom. Now let's drink to that. I will drink of this fruit of the vine. Look at the text with me. Until that day. That day, there is a day on God's calendar, sisters and brothers, that is called that day. Today is, let us say, our day. Let's take that. And the world systems are falling apart all around us. Here in America, we are consumed by an aggressive financial crisis, which is definitely rooted in our chronic moral crisis of greed and selfishness, love of power and pride. To quote a phrase from former President Gerald Ford, speaking of Watergate after his pardoning Richard Nixon, this is becoming our long national nightmare, our economy. Things are falling apart. Is there hope for us as a people? What do you think? What is your hope? What gets you through these times? There is hope for us, but it would not come from Washington. It would not come from the UN. It would not come from any human agency. As long as we keep electing sinners, we could expect disasters. Amen? I hope you understand what I'm saying here now. As long as we keep electing sinners, and we're all sinners, whatever party you belong to, we'll have problems. Therefore, we trust God. We trust God. We trust God. And Jesus says, a day is coming. That day, a day unlike all other days, a day outside all days, a day when God will have his day, a day when God would have his say, a day when God would have his way. That day will come. On that day, Christ will reign supremely. Good will triumph over evil. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. And as Handel puts it in the Messiah, and he shall reign forever. Hallelujah. He shall reign. It's a day without Washington, without Paris, without London, without Moscow, without Beijing. This is my Father's world, and God will step in and show those in charge who is really in charge. And Jesus says, that day comes. Right at the communion table, let us say, that day is coming, the day of the Lord. And on that day, I will drink new with you in my Father's kingdom. You see it, verse 29. In my Father's kingdom. Now, in John 14, you remember what he said? In my Father's house are many rooms. I go there to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now he says to them, we'll meet in that place. So here in this life, friends, we die, we fall off. Different times, under different circumstances, people die. But heaven is the great meeting place of believers. We will meet again, Jesus says, and I'll have a drink with you in my Father's kingdom. I'll have a drink with you. It is said that in the old days when sugar cane was king, when a British aristocrat died, they would put the body in a barrel of good West Indian rum and send it back to England. That will preserve anything, friends. Be careful you drink it. So I remember when we were in London some time ago having a tour, the bus driver driving around, he showed us Nelson's statue and he told the story of Nelson. He said when Nelson came back in that barrel of West Indian wine, after they took the body out, his body sat down and they had a drink with him. They had a drink by him. They had a drink for him and they had a drink of him. You don't drink that, friends. Jesus is saying, I'll have a drink with you. If you like to drink, do it in heaven. It is safe. In my Father's kingdom. Notice, he doesn't say our Father. God is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ in a very special way. Jesus never referred to God as our Father, my Father. Look at it in the text, friends. Jesus has no gender confusion, as some seem to have. God is his Father, not his father and his mother. And he taught us in our praying to say, our Father. I think God would be more pleased if you call him Father. I will not drink any more of this fruit of the vine until that day I drink it new with you in my Father's. So that gives you some clues as to what heaven may be like. What do you think? Heaven is a place where we would have bodies. Heaven is a place where you can have a drink. Heaven is a place where Jesus would be with a body that can drink. Heaven is a place of festive living. Wherever there's wine, there's a lot of fun. You think so? And enjoyment. I'm trying to say heaven is not as boring as church on Sunday morning. Oh, you got it now. Glad you got it now. I feel better now. I'll have a drink with you in my Father's kingdom. So don't let the bottle keep you from that place in God's kingdom where you will eat and drink with Christ. Our bread of life. So friends, there's much more to all of this than we may understand. We come to the table this day. We come to trust in this Christ. To trust that he is indeed the Son of the Father. To trust that he is indeed the Savior of the world. To trust that heaven does exist. And our loved ones who died to trust in Christ, they are now in his peace, in his joy, in a blessed state. And that day will come when all of us who love him will get together with them in his Father's kingdom. And there, he may say to us, let's drink to that. Let's drink to that. The Lord's Supper is a time to thank God, to take the gift, to trust his grace that heaven is there waiting for us. Amen. Amen. Before we go to the song,